we're all, you know, muddling through in our homemaking, but these are the different interests that God is putting in our home to put a unique mark of His creativity in our home.
Welcome to the Simplified Organization Podcast, 15-minute conversations with real moms about managing our homes and family life cheerfully to the glory of God. We can actually enjoy housework and love being homemakers when we focus on truth and work with gratitude. I'm Misty Winkler, homemaker for 22 years, homeschool mom of five with two graduates now, and author of the book Simplified Organization, Learn to Love What Must Be Done. I write and podcast at simplyconvivial.com, and I run Convivial Circle, a community helping women to excel at homemaking and do life cheerfully. Today, I have part two of my conversation with my friend Lexi Sauvay. Lexi is happily married to her high school sweetheart. They have six children and live in northern Utah. Lexi co-hosts the podcast Bright Hearth with her husband, which is all about running a productive Christian household. In the first part of our conversation, Lexi talked about how she got into homemaking skills like quilting, knitting, sourdough, all the things. But today, we're going to talk about how to get started in finding an interest, finding a hobby, and being okay with not even being good at the skills. This is a very encouraging and practical conversation that I know you're going to love. So let's dig in.
Yeah, and I think we can look at one another as moms because it should be individual. God gave us all different personalities. It's not, I think some people can have a misconception that I think all women should be X way, and it really shouldn't. And when I see my friends doing the same thing, like, wow, you are so good at quilting. How are you doing it all? But then I'm remembering, like, this is just her delight that God has given her. We're all, you know, muddling through in our homemaking, but these are the different interests that God is putting in our home to put a unique mark of His creativity in our home. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not, I don't think it should be cookie cutter. And I do think you have to figure out what you like to do.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay to experiment along the way to not know ahead of time, like, this is what I'm going to go all in on.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and I've definitely had seasons of that where, especially with pregnancy, that I had a whole season of life where I made all of our cheese because I had access to $2 raw gallon milk for a couple years, and I don't have that anymore, so I don't make cheese anymore. And you know, it's never been like an identity type of a thing for me. It really is just like, I just want to dabble in these different things, and one interest leads to the next, sort of a thing.
That's a good point, because it is so easy to then take on the hobby things and say, like, now this is my thing that I have to have, or that I'm somehow obligated to keep doing. Mm-hmm. I know at one point I learned how to make tortillas.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, homemade tortillas are so much better.
They are.
And so then, and I had like this idea that I wanted to pare my pantry down like as small as possible. So don't buy ingredients, like make as many mm-hmm. things. And so I was like, so I can make tortillas now. Great. And then kind of move on. And then I think it was more than a year. And I was menu planning, and like, there's tacos, enchiladas, like all these tortilla dinners that everyone loves that we have not had.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, it's because I said, oh, I have to make my tortillas. So yep. Therefore we're not ever eating tortillas.
Oh yeah. Yep. That was me this postpartum where I had been in like pantry cooking mode for so long, localism, all of the stuff, the meat from my friends, only from what I can get from Azure. And not necessarily because it was really because that was a more convenient thing for me to do. I don't like taking all my kids to the grocery store. It was more convenient to just have everything shipped to me. But I realized, I was like, in order to love my family, I need to do some actual meal planning and follow actual recipes and not just pantry cook anymore. Even if that means going to the grocery store for some black olives, that's what I need to do. And it was another way of like inserting a little bit of joy and delight into what was going on, and everyone else benefited from it. It's, yeah. But so this year it's knitting for me, and it's been kind of one of those things where I probably won't get as much reading done as I usually do. I'm still listening to books, but like I said, I'm at a point in my life with the stages my kids are in and how many kids there are that my timetable is pretty maxed out. So at this point, it really is making some exchanges or hacking my time. Lexi of 5 years ago would have died at the idea of counting a listened to book as part of my full circle.
Glad you came around.
The year Lexi started listening to audiobooks and using Clorox on the toilets again.
Sounds like a momentous year.
Yep. Yeah.
So how would you recommend someone get started in dabbling? Like, what does that even look like?
Okay. I've wanted to put together like a questionnaire about this for years. Because I don't think most women go into homemaking either as a single woman or as a married woman, knowing how to cast a vision for their homemaking and what kind of grandma they want to be. And that was really kind of what I asked myself when I read Even Exile, was like, what kind of grandma do I want to be? And what skill sets are lacking in order to get there? And I had kind of always imagined myself, it's so silly, but I literally just said, you're the kind of woman that would wear an apron, make homemade bread, know how to sew, and know how to knit. So literally those have been my four themes. And it's different for every person, but it's just like, what is the quintessential feminine woman skill set in your brain and how can you get there? I also kind of told myself early on, like, what are the hurdles? What are the things that like my mom made me think were hard to do? And things were making meatballs and making homemade pudding. And those were really early on. Those were things I tackled because I was like, okay, I don't want to be scared of anything in my kitchen, in my home, in my vocation. So I'm going to tackle the hard things first. And then everything else would kind of flow naturally. At least that's what I was thinking in my head. So I think that would be really important to ask yourself, like, what are the things you're afraid of? And it might take a couple tries. That's been knitting. I've been trying to knit since 2019. And this was my third or fourth time picking up a project. And it just stuck for whatever reason. I don't know. Some of it really could be muscle memory for you. Some of it might just be the right resources at the right time. So I would say, don't give up, maybe try it in a new season, but what are you scared of doing? And then just what sticks out to you as feminine, I guess, and how can you get there?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And maybe even asking around in your local community and to like, what, you know, does someone in your circles, in your church know how to knit? And they're resource. Like, you don't have to go online.
Yes.
Someone sitting next to you, watching you, and then you then demonstrating and going back and forth. Mm-hmm. These skills previously were learned and passed on in community.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like the quilting and the knitting. And those were things that women came together and, you know, talked it while doing their work and their craft. And so tying community to, or learning to can, like doing it with one another is a great way to have two in one, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I'd say it's been about 50% things I've taught myself to do and about 50% I've had to do with women. And the first thing when I picked up quilting, that was definitely, it's funny because Pastor Dan taught me how to garden and how to make bread really early on. I think I was like 20 because we didn't have a lot of older women in the church and it was just something he was interested in and he showed me. But then when I wanted to quilt a few years later, it really was outside of my comfort zone to go approach another woman and just say, I don't know you really well, but can I spend the next two Saturdays at your house? Can you
Mm-hmm.
show me a quilt? And I think once you get outside of, realize that doing that is kind of going to feel awkward for the first kind of couple times, no matter what, but just doing it anyways, it will help you learn faster and you'll have a living teacher to actually ask questions of. And I don't think a lot of women have, at least in my experience, a lot of the people I've talked to in person from Bright Hearth don't have churches like you and I do, where there is a robust group of women like that. And so they'll say like, well, what should I do? And I always say like, you have an opportunity to set the tone for community then. What are you excited about that you can say, hey, come to my house this week. We're going to make homemade spaghetti sauce. Or let me show you how to do some scrapbooking, or I'm going to show you how to sew a simple shirt. And I really think one person being excited about something helps other people be like, oh, it's okay to be excited about this. It's not wasteful. It's not a waste of my time. And it's just amazing how women really can thrive, especially when there's not a competitive spirit, when it really is just, we're all excited about the world God has made and our homes, and we want to excel in it. Women are truly an unstoppable force.
Yes.
So yeah, just be the person who creates that community then. Cause we didn't have this at Refuge. It's not like I inherited this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another piece on the asking people at church, and I think just getting over the awkward, just like, it's like, it's going to be awkward, and that's okay. That doesn't mean that it's wrong or bad or you shouldn't do it. That's just like what you have to push through to get to the other side. And it's also tempting, I think, to say, well, you know, the ideal mentor woman that I want is, you know, has all these traits, and then look around like she's not around, so I can't ask anybody except internet people.
Yeah,
where I can't see their personal thing. And it's like, well, other, like, is there, if you want to learn how to quilt, is there a lady at your church who quilts, like, without any other qualifications that you've, you know, established? Like, just ask her. Just, it's still okay to spend time and make those connections within your body without like wanting a maybe too high of a standard.
Yes, that's a really good point. That social media definitely plays into how we view some of this. Yeah.
I'm going to ask the woman where I can't see her mess.
Yeah.
Her mistakes.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. And that's where I think you just have to be willing to push through that awkwardness and just, and I don't, Wendell Berry has really helped me keep my feet on the ground in terms of social media and what I do want to be doing and not doing, and just remembering like the local church is your greatest asset. Even like you said, even if they're not meeting your ideal for whatever reason, God will always provide through the local church. So even if maybe you don't know what you're interested in, look around at the skill set in your church and get interested in something those women are interested in. Because more often than not, that's how God's going to be providing for you.
That's a great point. And someone else's enthusiasm and skill is going to be contagious if you spend time with her.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, exactly. Yeah, so I'm really thankful for my patient friend who's been trying to teach me to knit for years. I'm like, this is so hard. How are you so patient with me? And I think that's another thing too. I had someone one time that when we kind of switched our women's ministry, somebody kind of said like, well, you should be studying, you know, verse by verse together. And how are you ever going to grow in the gifts of the Spirit? And I kind of just thought, have you ever tried to learn a new skill along somebody? Do you know how much humility and patience it actually takes to do that? Like, what are you talking about? We are. So, and having those skill sets too really equips women to do the work of ministry. I think a lot of the time when women just weren't equipped for whatever reason, maybe they didn't have a mom in the home, or maybe their mom was working, or they had a Christian mom, but there wasn't a high view of culture in the home. I think women can be dissatisfied in the work simply because they don't know how to do it. And I think Layla Lawler talks about that. Like, if you have to do it, then learn how to do it well. So we definitely noticed early on as a church that like meal trains were just tough to get filled out. But it's so cool because we just don't have that problem anymore because all the women know how to cook. And if you don't know how to cook, there's no excuse because people are regularly teaching one another how to cook new things. So, yeah.
So you're doing that in your women's ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Events or.
Yeah. So we don't really do, it's pretty rare for us to have like a whole church women's ministry event. We call them hangouts, and anybody, men or woman, could host a hangout. And we have kind of at least once a year, I kind of keep in the back of my mind, okay, this month we need this kind of hangout. This month we need that kind of hangout. And either I will do it or I will organize it so the right person can teach that. And so we just have, the first year it was really skill set based because it was a huge lack, a big influx of young moms who just were, they were excited to be equipped, but there was still a lack there. And so I'm trying to think, like we had someone host a freezer meals one, we had someone do a pasta one, someone do a sourdough one, someone do a canning one. We've done gardening, we've done the knitting hangout is one that we're doing right now. There is a regular, I started a regular monthly craft one where I just told the ladies, I was like, look, don't bring your meal planning if you want to. It doesn't have to be sewing or crocheting, or it doesn't have to be anything at all. And come just see what other people are doing, because maybe you've never even seen this in real life and you don't know what you're interested in. So come anyways. Don't say I'm not crafty, I'm not gonna come. Come, make a point of coming and figure out what you want to do. And that's just really helped. That's how I've learned. Like, I didn't know that I wanted to, I think it's called English paper piecing. I didn't know I wanted to do that until I saw someone doing it. And I was like, well, that's gorgeous. I want to do that now. So I think it just, whoops. Can you still see me?
Yep.
Okay. I think it just really helps like women see what the possibilities even are out there. So yeah, we just have a whole bunch of different things that we're constantly doing and learning. And as the Lord grows our church, we just have new women with new skill sets, stuff we've never thought to try teaching before that now they're teaching. And it's just really, it's really cool.
That's awesome. Well, and that is exactly how women in community are supposed to be working together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, exactly. Exactly. So it's just really exciting. And it's exciting to think too, like my daughters are growing up around this being normalized, and, you know, they've been in my friends' kitchens and in their backyard gardens and in their quilting rooms. And it's just kind of normal for women to all figure this out together. So it's really encouraging.
Now, if you have a million thoughts running through your head at the end of this conversation with ideas about things that you might be interested in trying out, or people that you might just get the bravery to talk to about some kind of skill or ability, you should brain dump. Spill all those thoughts onto paper, and that will help you turn them into concrete actions in your life. I have a free brain dump guide that will help you get started. We don't want these ideas to just stay stuck swirling in our head. We want to think them through, make a plan, declutter our heads, and move forward. So the brain dump guide will help you do just that. You can find a link in the description below. And I also have plenty of episodes about brain dumping that can help you get started. So you can check those out here, because we want to repent, rejoice, repeat.